Brady. Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Good morning, guys.
What time of the day does your body think it is right now, Tom?
I woke up at 5:30 this morning just rearing to go. So it's been a little adjustment, but, you know, I'll tell you, it's a lot easier coming this way than it was, you know, going over there.
And it's a lot easier coming this way knowing you have a bye week as well.
Yeah, that helps a lot. It comes at really a good point of the year for us. We've had a few guys injured on offense that will really use this week as an advantage. And I think for all of us, just a little mental break, a little physical break, and then, you know, be ready for Miami in a couple weeks.
So now is as good a time as any to assess, you know, where you've been, where you are, and where you're going as a team. And I'm wondering, does outscoring your last two opponents 94-7, even against two teams with a combined 0-13 record, does that indicate to you, Tom, that the Pats are now rolling at the midpoint of the season?
Well, I mean, we're playing better football than we were earlier in the year. I know that. The level of execution's better. The understanding of what the roles are for each player on offense and defense are much more clearly defined, as you would expect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the reality is the football season starts about this time of year. You know, this is where you start seeing the well-coached teams, the teams that have depth, the teams that play smart football. This is when the good teams really start to make strides to really improve their team. And hopefully we're one of those teams. I mean, I think it's the last 2 weeks have been encouraging for all of us. And I think we've gone out there, and even though the opponents, you know, have not had the types of years we've had, we played really well against the Titans. We played, you know, it didn't matter who we were going to play that day, we were, you know, going to win that game.
Mm-hmm.
And we played in spurts very good against Tampa this last weekend. So there's a lot of reasons for us to be confident and to be excited about the second half of the year. We're going there this week and do self-scout for a couple of days, and then we'll have the weekend off and then come back and get to work on Miami. But, you know, all of us are – it was a fun flight home yesterday, and, you know, I think we're all, you know, excited about where we're at.
Can I ask the big question that we were all wondering about the other day, Tom? And it's a two-part question, as Dino would say. A,
yeah.
Why did you wear a suit and tie on the flight when everyone else was in their pajamas? And B, did you dress up for the flight home too?
You know, coach said, they said, what's the travel for the game? And he said, you know, you can either wear your suit or you can wear, you know, the team issued sweatsuit. So I didn't really feel like wearing the team issued sweatsuit. So there wasn't much of a choice other than that.
Did you leave the tie on the whole like 6 hour flight?
No, I took it off. I brought a little hoodie to sleep in, so I took that off. I figured there's only one way to go. So,
tell us about.
Believe me, if you look around at those other guys on that plane, you would understand why I'd wear a suit.
That's true.
The way those guys looked.
Well, so the flight home is. Did you pack some Guinness to go and did you celebrate a nice little 2 week run and celebrate the upcoming bye week? I mean, how much fun was it?
Yeah, it was fun. Sunday night was fun. We all went out and, went out to different places. And I kind of walked around London till pretty late in the morning just to kind of had dinner with a few friends and then walked around with a few buddies just to kind of see some different sights at like 2 or 3 in the morning.
Wow.
Before we left. And I watched Godfather 2 for the first time on the flight home, which was a great movie. So
what kind of things did you see, sightseeing? You say you're walking around checking out the sights.
Yeah, I walked through Hyde Park. I walked down to Buckingham Palace. I walked down by Parliament. So, you know, after the game, I'm always pretty wired. So it was just nice to be able to kind of walk around. I didn't get a chance to experience London a whole lot. We practiced on Friday. Saturday, I pretty much laid low and just did my normal preparations for the game. And then Sunday, we played. And so Sunday night was really my only opportunity to do it. So
how many hours were you out walking about Sunday night?
Probably about 3, probably from about 11 to 2.
And how many times did people recognize you?
It was late, man. I was just hoping, like, the pickpockets and those guys stayed the hell away from me.
So nobody recognized you in 3 hours out in the town?
Not really. I mean,
wow.
It's pretty quiet out. I mean,
that must have
like
felt good.
Any pubs or anything, so
yeah.
It was actually great.
Did that feel good?
It's fun. Yeah, I mean, I love it. Believe me, it's
no TMZ up in your face?
Not over there. They're probably staked out at Madonna's house.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, when you were beating a team, you talked about how well you played against Tennessee and well in spurts. against Tampa. When you're beating a team and you know the game's in control, and I know things can go the other way, but you're in control, are you as a quarterback, Tom, more likely to take more of a risk in trying to fit a ball into a space than if it were a tied ball game? I mean, I'm not trying to give you an excuse here on the two interceptions, but if that were a tied ball game, would you try to make some of those throws that you will in a game that you know you're going to win?
Not sure. A lot of those are just, you know, in instinct plays and things that, you know, flash and you make. I mean, you're making really split-second decisions.
Yeah.
So when you're making the decision, it's a good decision. And then, you know, a quarter of a second after you made the decision, it's a bad decision. You know, so you kind of evaluate that and you say, okay, next time I'm in that situation, I really feel the urge to make the throw. You know, this time I'm gonna pull it down. And I think that's just part of I saw Phil Simms after the game, and we were talking about those plays, and it was in the next to the buses. And he said, you know, he says it's in some ways it's, you know, QBs these days, they're not taking the chances that you used to. And, you know, he used a word, I can't say the word here, but you know,
balls?
Quarterbacks.
Never
yeah, you got to be more ballsy.
Ballsy, yeah.
It's never stopped you before.
I know, that's true. And you know, normally I do, you know, I do try to stick some throws in there. And, you know, I hate throwing interceptions. Believe me, nobody hates them more than me. It's probably the worst feeling for a quarterback because it's just, you know, it's one of those things you take a lot of pride in is not turning the ball over. But
how many picks do you think is a reasonable number for a year? Because you're having a damn good year statistically. Does it feel that way? And do you have like a number for picks? Like under 10? Is that your goal?
Yeah. Under 10 is a good number. Yeah. I mean, if you could throw under 10. And
well, Jake the Lone
Cloud. We've had a lot of attempts this year, too. Yeah. You know, normally I think one every 50 attempts is pretty good.
Right.
I mean, that's a good number. That's like one every game and a half, hopefully. You know, sometimes you throw 50 times in a game. Mm. So, you know, one every 50 is a pretty good number.
Hey, Tom, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Of the four offensive touchdowns, Merriweather's interception return, you know, notwithstanding, which one pleased you the most? My guess is when you stepped up and hit Aiken and the 55-yard catch and run probably is high on your list.
Yeah, that was a good one. I like to throw to Ben. I mean, that was
yeah.
That's how I like throwing the football.
Did you know when you looked at the defense, because Sim said he knew when he came to the line of scrimmage that he had man-on-man coverage, and Ben was going to run straight line and was going to beat the linebacker easily. Did you know before the snap that's where you were going and you were going to score?
Yeah, I thought, you know, he was inside leverage on Ben, and I know the route Ben was running, which was a seam route, right up the inside edge of the numbers, and it's always a good matchup. Believe me, anytime Ben's running on linebacker, it's a good matchup for us. And you know, I put it out there. He made ran a great route and made a nice catch. And he's made some really big catches for us this year. We've really struggled. You know, the two games we've lost this year, we struggled coming out of halftime and scoring points.
Mm-hmm.
And that was first drive of the second half. So I thought that gave us a lot of confidence and say coach made a big emphasis on that last week, saying, you know, we got to start performing better in the second half. We got to start coming out and scoring points to start the second half, especially when you get the ball, because it really sets the tone. So we overcame a few penalties on that drive and then scored the big touchdown there to Ben, which you know, put us up 28-7. So that was really a critical drive. Then we had another almost 90-yard drive there to get the fourth touchdown.
Maroney's run.
Ran it in,
right.
Which that was a damn good drive, too. So.
Yeah.
We got to put together those kind of drives. We're all or nothing. It's what it feels like for me. It's either three and out, or we go on these long, sustained drives with a lot of good plays. So we got to find some middle ground there. And I like the long drives, but you know, those three and outs, we got to eliminate those.
Yeah, that's what Tampa's saying. Three and outs, we got to eliminate. They only had seven of them, I think, on Sunday.
And by the way, Raheem Morris said that Geno Hayes on Ben Watson was not a bad matchup. He had no problem with that. Which, I don't know what that says about Raheem Morris. I was glad you threw to Ben just because I was afraid he was feeling left out. You didn't throw it to him at all in the 59-0 game.
I know. Ben didn't have a touchdown. I think he was feeling left out, so he was lobbying for me last week to get him the ball. So he's a weapon for us, and he's got such great speed. And we've played together for a long time in this sixth season, so I know where he's going to be. He's made some huge catches for us this year, and you know, that was a big one in the game.
Hey, obviously the Joey Galloway experiment failed, and I'm wondering, why can't Sam Aiken be reliable number three? And just how important is a number three when the one and two are Moss and Welker?
Well, it's a critical position for us. When you have, you know, when we're primarily a three receiver offense, so that third receiver plays a big role because a lot of the times the coverage goes to Randy and Wes. So typically, if Randy and Wes are on the same side of the field, the coverage is rotated that way, and it's more difficult to throw it over there. And when they're on opposite sides, the guy that's usually singled again is Sam. So he made a big catch and run. You know, he's really dangerous with the ball in his hands. He's a really strong runner. We had him in there on the goal line, and our goal line package tells you the kind of strength he has as a blocker. So he can really run with the ball. You just got to get him the ball on things that, you know, he does, and he does well, and he does, you know, with a lot of confidence. And, you know, he's been here for a couple of years and hasn't had a huge role on offense. He's been more of a core special teams player and our best special teams player. You know, but now he's in a role where he is our third receiver with Julian out, and between Julian and Brandon and what was Joey and Sam, I mean, they all kind of shared that third receiver spot, and we kind of, you know, did different things with all of them because they all have maybe a little bit different skill sets. So Sam obviously is a weapon for us, and he made a couple of nice catches in the game. You know, we got to keep using everybody. That's the reality.
Tom, allowing for the fact that you indeed make, you know, countless split-second decisions every single game you play in, they always say that for the great players in the NBA and the NFL and baseball, it all slows down at critical points. And I'm wondering, when you tucked it and ran for the first down and came up a yard short, and as things slow down and you're thinking about what's going on, what's the thought process and what set of thoughts go through your mind as you're thinking, you know, do I want to reach my arm out for the stick and get it snapped off? Do I want to worry about my shoulder? Do I need to slide feet first? What, if any of those things, comes in your mind as you have that, you know, 2.5, 3 second run where you're deciding exactly how it's going to end?
Yeah, that's you know, I always say when you're the slowest guy on the field, you know that eventually somebody's going to catch you.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes they catch me a yard down the field, and, you know, that one, I think it was 3rd and 6.
And you got 5.
And I got 5. I thought I got 6, but I think my foot kind of, anyway, you know, when I get out of the pocket, things happen really fast. You know, they just start flying. Guys are flying. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like standing on the freeway just watching the cars go by and trying to dodge those things, you know. But I'm the one that, you know, I don't get out there often because, you know, I'm not as comfortable out there. I like standing in the pocket and seeing my read. And those are the things you can practice and the repetition that you have in practice. I always like to practice the things that you're going to play so you can make whatever decisions in practice, and then in the game, if the same similar thing happens, you can verify. Well, once you get out of the pocket, there's no way you can practice that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I prefer to be in the pocket, and when I'm out there, I'm just, you know, I had a bad play on the interception out of the pocket, and you know, first I like being in the pocket as much as I can be in there.
Well, one wise analyst once said about a quarterback running the football, he says, you just have to know when you tuck and run that if you're going to make those big linemen and those big linebackers chase you, by the time they get to you, they're going to be mad for having made you chase them. So they're not going to be happy when they get to you.
Yeah, they're not happy at all, believe me. And everybody, and these guys love him. This guy said to me in the game, he said, man, I just want to hit you one time. That's what he said.
Who said that?
I think it was Wilkerson. So well, you're going to keep trying, bud.
Yeah.
I can't imagine anybody has a target on their back quite like you do, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, or Peyton.
Peyton, too. They never get to touch him.
Hey, though. You know, we talked about the advantages that Belichick brings to this football team from an organizational standpoint, from an experience standpoint, certainly from an X and O standpoint. But in terms of details, can you give us an example? And I know you're not going to throw Raheem Morris under the bus, but he's the guy who had to lead his team across the ocean into a new set of circumstances, a new stadium that you didn't get to go have a walkthrough with and all those kinds of things. Can you give us a specific one or two things, not football or not necessarily X and O or playbook related, that Bill could share with you guys that gave you maybe just a little bit of an advantage in that game or any other?
Yeah, well, I think there's nobody that's like more prepared than him in any facet of the game or any facet of preparation. And, you know, like he tells us, like, the referees for the game. You know, this referee is, you know, Jerome Bogart, which was this last week, or mm-hmm. The week before against Baltimore was a great example. And he tells you the ref, and he says, well, this is the last time we had this guy, And he called 12 penalties in this game. And not only did he call 12 penalties, in 2007, 2008, he called the most penalties. You know, this crew had the most penalties called of any crew in the league. You know, so what does that tell you? It means they're going to call the game tight.
Right.
And he says, you know, they always will call defensive, defensive pass interference. They'll always call late hits on the quarterback. They'll always call this penalty. Now, they don't call a lot of holding penalties. They don't call a lot of these penalties. So, you know, he says, you know, his term is always do business is being done. You know, and that's how you want to play the game, as, you know, in terms of, you know, if they're letting the guys play, then that's how you got to play. If they're calling it tight, they're going to call it tight. So, you know, we come out of the Baltimore game and everyone's, you know, bitching about the referees making all these tight calls.
Right.
But Belichick told us 2 days before the game, this is the way they're going to call the game. So, you know, that's just how he coaches. I mean, this last game, he showed us probably 20 clips from the last two games at Wembley Stadium of the environment and the field that we're playing on and the types of plays that were working well and the kind of grass that we were playing on.
Really?
You know, so I don't know if Raheem Morris was showing his team that, but, you know, I know that Coach Belichick was showing us that.
I think he showed just Rudy on the flight.
Hey, yeah, Rocky,
are you allowed to bitch about, you know, the schedule or this trip? I mean, if you're in the locker room or on the plane, are you allowed to say, what a pain in the ass, I can't believe we have to do it? Or is it understood that you can't control it, so don't bitch about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think like most football players, it kind of ebbs and flows throughout the season. And, you know, I tell you the truth, I enjoyed the trip. I mean, I really did. I thought it was a great experience for our team. Like I said, we got to spend a lot of time together. I mean, the byes in week 8, a lot of teams had the bye in week 4. You know, we played a road game for us in basically a neutral environment. So, I mean, that's a great advantage for us. So, I mean, I really enjoyed the experience. I thought it was fun for our team. So some guys didn't like it. Some guys didn't like the food. Some guys didn't like the travel. But you know, you're never going to satisfy everybody. You just got to do what you got to do. Some games we play on Thursday. Some games we play on Sunday night. We play Monday night. We play a Monday night game followed by a Sunday night game.
Right.
You know, in a month. So look, every team deals with something. I mean, it's not like every game is going to be Sunday at 1 o'clock and it's going to go home, road, home, road, home, road. And that's not the way it goes. Mm. So, you just got to, a lot of it's being mentally tough and saying, this is what we're dealing with. And this is how we got to go out and perform. And these aren't going to be distractions. And we're going to go out there and take care of business no matter what it is.
Tom, I don't even know why I want to know this, and we don't need to spend a lot of time on it. But off the top of your head, how many different screen passes are there in the Patriots' offensive playbook?
Well, we screened everybody. I mean, we screened every position. There's 5 eligible receivers on every play.
So that's 5.
Yeah, but I mean, we have varieties of, you know, maybe 3 or 4 to each of those positions.
So that's 20.
Yeah, and then I'd say you can always game plan additional screens based on the team that you're playing and the kind of screens that work. Like, you know, if you want to get the ball to the halfback off play action, I mean, there's play action from one back formations to the strong side. There's play action one back formation to the weak side. There's play action, you know, play action two back to the strong side, weak to the, you know, two to the weak side. So, I mean, there's probably another 20 or 30 you can come up with. So
I wonder Josh Johnson looks so confused sitting on the sideline.
Yeah, the Bucks have the Statue of Liberty play in the book. I don't know if you guys have that. Hey, the Wes Welker, fascinating game. You threw to him 10 times. He made 10 catches. He leads the league in catches, even though he missed 2 games. I always wonder, how many of the routes he ran that you hit him on, how many were called in the huddle, say, were in the play that you called in the huddle, and how many are adjustments?
Usually about half.
Yeah.
I mean, with Wes, he's able to work. Like a guy like Randy, who's outside the numbers on pretty much every play, you know, that's where the majority of his routes take place. You know, Wes goes from anywhere from where he's aligned. I mean, he's really got the whole field to work with. I mean, if he starts in the slot, he can push up and break out all the way to the sideline, or he can really break all the way across the field. So that's why those slot receivers tend to have more catches. They don't have the
yards.
yards per reception mm-hmm. like an outside receiver does, because there's, you know, where you typically throw the ball deep is on the sideline. But, you know, Wes, that's the thing with Wes. I mean, no matter what coverage the defense plays, Wes has an opportunity to get the ball. Whereas Randy, if a defense really wants to take an outside receiver out of the game, they can just play certain coverages that take him out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't really do that with Wes, because Wes has so much room to work. So, and Wes can be a part of a lot of inside combination routes with the tight end and the halfback, whereas the outside receivers have no combination routes with the tight end and the halfback. So, you know, those slot guys, you know, they're always going to have a lot of catches. I mean, Wes is the best slot receiver in the league. So, I mean, it's no mystery why he's, you know, why him playing in five games, he leads the league in receptions on most guys who are playing in seven games already.
Well, that takes me to this question.
One more technical question.
Yeah, but this leads nicely into my most uncomfortable hypothetical of all time.
We'll have to build up to that.
No.
In practice, did you ever hand the ball to Connolly?
No. No chance.
Oh,
that will never happen.
He doesn't have enough cachet to demand it either. Like,
no,
you know, like
no.
Vrabel could like say, "Give me the damn ball."
Yeah. Now Vrabel sent me an email after Kasten threw him a touchdown last week, and he said, "I always knew Castle threw a better ball than you."
He's 11 for 11 now, I believe. Right, 11
I
catches,
yeah.
11 touchdowns.
Yeah, pretty good.
That's the greatest
percentage.
Stat.
All right, here's. I think I've created the most uncomfortable hypothetical we've had for you yet, Tom.
Tell me.
One of your two wide receivers is going to retire this week in the bye week. Either Welker's going to say, "Yeah, I've had enough football. I'm going to go do whatever I do," or Randy Moss says, "Yeah, I'm going to retire. I've had enough football. I'm going to go do what I want to do." Who would you choose to be at war with you for the final half of the season, Welker or Moss? You can only have one. I knew you wouldn't like this.
I know. I mean, there's no good way to answer that.
I know.
I'll tell you this, one of them's not good without the other. You know, I mean, well, I shouldn't say that. They're both great players. But what takes them to the next level is that if the coverage goes to Randy, Wes is singled. If the coverage goes to Wes, Randy's singled. And they feed off of each other.
Uh-huh.
And they complement each other. I mean, it's like peanut butter without the jelly.
I mean,
they complement each other so well. You know, and they have a totally different skill set. I mean, they're just – and Wes can make plays down the field, but Randy, that's where his specialty is. And Randy catches the ball down the field better than anybody has probably ever played the game. And he has incredible hands. And for a big guy, he's got exceptional quickness. And Wes has, for a smaller guy with great quickness, he has great speed.
Mm-hmm.
And incredible hands. And I mean, if you ever shake Wes's hand, he's got, you know, pretty small hands, but you know, he's got such strength in his hands. And you know, Wes is the ultimate competitor. I mean, he's been banged up all season, and he goes out there and continues to do what he does. So it's pretty unbelievable to see what they've done and what they can do together. And you know, I hope that I never have to play with those guys. You know, only one of them at a time, because it makes my job so much easier having them both out there.
All right. I don't know if you remember your homework assignment, but I'm wondering, in your 3 hours of staggering around London on Sunday night, did you find out what mind the gap means?
I did.
You did?
Wow. Yeah, I did.
I told you you'd do it.
I was trying to remember, because I got over there and I said, I remember what John asked me. And I asked the guy, I said, "Hey, do you know what, like, pitch the gap is?" or pinch the gap? Or
mind the gap.
That's right.
And what does it mean?
And he says, "Oh, yeah, mind the gap." And I said, "Yeah, what the hell does that mean?" And so I guess it's got something to do with the subway.
Yes.
And there's a gap.
Yes, essentially, watch your step when you're getting on the train. Watch the little space
right
in between the platform and the train. Very
right,
good.
I didn't have the opportunity to take the train, but if I ever do, believe me, I'll always remember you asking me that question.
Just mind the gap. All right.
Did you eat bangers and mash or – haggis? They have haggis?
No, that's Scotland. Oh, haggis is Scotland.
Yeah, none of that.
No.
We're pretty traditional.
And Louis wants to know, Tom, historically the Patriots have always played some great football in some of the worst weather conditions. Why is that, Tom?
Yep. Well, we practice it every day. I mean, and I think the weather that you get here in Foxborough,
And in October?
Yeah, in mid-October you're getting, 3 inches of snow. And it changes. I mean, it changes every day. So the temperature swings are 40-degree differences in one day. And it's sleet, it's rain, and it's snow, and it's ice, and it's, the hot sun, and it's humid, and it's dry in the winter. So with us having an opportunity to practice in it every day, off-season workouts, in March and April, I mean, it's raining and pouring. It's just you build up your mental toughness. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not 80 degrees every day, and it's not – and I think that serves you well in a lot of areas. You know, we play a game against Tennessee, and it's snowing in mid-October, and it's like, this is cool. Let's go out there. This is fun. Yeah. And I don't know how much fun they had in that. But because we've had so many practices in the snow and so many practices in the wind and in the rain, I mean, that becomes part of what you're able to work on and develop as a player. And these are the ways that I need to be able to throw the ball, or this is the kind of footwork I need in real, tough conditions and wet fields. So it's a great advantage for us when we play teams that come from the South or the West Coast that don't have a chance to practice in it, because, it takes time. It takes time to learn how to do it. And we played Tennessee a few years ago, and the coldest game I ever played in was divisional game. And I was minus 10 wind chill. So we played in it, we practiced in it, and that serves us pretty well when we play a lot of these teams that aren't used to it.
Well, Tom, congratulations on the win. Welcome home. Enjoy your bye week. Does this mean we do or don't talk to you next Monday?
I'm not sure.
We'll work on that.
You're giving him the choice?
Yeah. That's perfect. What do you mean? I love calling you guys.
Yeah, of course he does.
Especially when he's up at 5:30.
Sure. We're raring to go.
Maybe he'll still be on European time.
All right, we'll have Chach and Stacy figure this out, Tom.
All right, guys.
Tom, take care. Welcome home.
Thanks, Tom.
Tom Brady.